Okay, so I'm going to be talking to you guys today about something called attitude. Okay, now going along with attitude, who here has bad days or good days? I know everyone does, right? Does anyone want to try defining what attitude means? Okay, if you have an idea, come up here. One person. What do you guys define attitude as?
You don't listen.
That's a part of it.
Behavior of a person.
Behavior of a person. Yep, I'd say that pretty much sums it up. So I took a chance a bit yesterday or something, I forget when, to look it up according to dictionary.com. And what it means in dictionary.com is a manner, disposition, feeling, or position with regard to a person or thing, or also a tendency or orientation, especially of the mind. And another definition of it was position or posture of the body, appropriate to or expressive of an action or emotion. We'll get to that, don't worry. But according to this definition, the first part is behavior, what we say, how we say it, and stuff like that, right? We can be in a bad mood. Who knows when they're in a bad mood? They don't want to talk to many people. They might be a bit mean sometimes, on edge. They're a bit grumpy. Does that happen to anyone else? I know it happens to me. Yeah, some people might not want to admit it, but I'm pretty sure it happens to everyone. Or when they're in a good mood, you know that you're chatting with everyone, you're smiling all the time. You're happy, right? The second part, the second definition of that was the position or posture of the body, right? So also your actions can depict how you're feeling. So me just standing here, I'm here, I'm not happy, I'm not sad, I'm not mad. If I punch someone, what am I? Am I happy? Yeah, I could be happy. It could just be like a lighthearted punch to the shoulder or something. Let's say I punch them in the face really hard. I'm angry. You might be happy for the moment, maybe because you got revenge or something, but who knows what's going through your mind. Now, guys at the side, Micah, Josh, just listen up. I want you guys to pay attention to this next part. On dictionary.com, there is also another definition of attitude, and this applies to planes. Anyone know much about planes? No, attitude. I was surprised. I thought it was altitude as well, but this is attitude. Yep. They fly up in the air. Now, this has something to do with when they land. So listen up, guys. So when they land, the definition of attitude applied to planes is the inclination of the three principal axes of an aircraft relative to the wind and to the ground, etc. Now, this applies to when they land. So just to put it simply, if their attitude isn't correct when they go in for a landing, like the plane isn't adhering to the wind conditions, the weather, anything like that, then they can crash, right? Yep, so pretty much that's the definition of attitude when it comes to planes. Now think about it. How can that relate to our own lives? Do you think it's a metaphor for what we can sometimes do in our own lives? Yeah, I felt the same way. When I read that, I was surprised. Because in the same way, when, let's say we're going through a day and a situation comes up. Let's say the beginning of the day when we wake up, that's our takeoff. We're using the plane as a metaphor in case you're not following. But at the beginning of the day when you wake up, you're taking off. And your flight lasts the whole day. So let's say you're in school. I know most of you are. Let's say you go to first period, everything's fine. You just go through class, you listen up, you do some work. Second period, you have a break or something. Third period comes a test. You know you didn't study for it. You don't think you did too well. That offsets your mood for the full day, right? Yep, you're pretty mad at yourself for maybe not studying, or you're disappointed that you didn't know what the answers were. You don't think you did well? Huh? You can choose to be mad or not to be mad. Yep, that goes along with the attitude of the plane landing. So you hit a little turbulence going along with the plane metaphor. And then it's your choice whether you want to just keep going along with that bad attitude, or you can make the conscious decision to say, all of this happened, I'm going to put that aside, and I'm going to just focus on the rest of my day, not let that bug me. and you'll have a good attitude for the rest of the day. What do you think that'll do? Will you have a good landing or a bad landing in the plane metaphor? A good landing, yep. And it doesn't always end up that you have a crash landing if you have a bad attitude. If you let that affect the rest of your day. If that becomes the focal point of that day, then it can affect everything else. Okay, just trying to find where I am. Okay, we've got a Bible verse here. If you have your Bibles, which most of you should, because not only do you get points for it in task teams, which add up, but it's a very powerful tool that you can take with you every day. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians 2, verse 5. Now, this verse I've got from the New International Version, so you guys might have different versions, but it's that basic verse. I'll give you a moment to turn to it. But also, while you guys are turning to it, notice on how on a day when you're in a bad mood, that just offsets your whole day. And when you're in good mood, it makes your day better, right? Now, let's say you... the passage once again is Philippians 2, verse 5. Let's say you're going to school, and you have a friend who's in a really bad mood. He's talking a lot, and he's just bringing everyone else down. Does that affect how you feel if you're listening to him and everything? Yep. Yeah, so you hear what they're saying. Sometimes you can let it affect you because you're taking in what they say. You take their burden on your shoulders, but you can ask God to just help them and help you to not worry so much, right? Do you have something else? Doesn't affect your life, so that's good. But on the opposite side, when someone's in a good mood and you're around them, does that make your mood better? So when someone's happy and they're like smiling all the time, does that make you want to smile or put you in a good mood or something? Yeah. Can it change your day when you're having a bad mood? Yeah. So good attitudes are, they're contagious, for lack of a better word. So you've had enough time to turn to this verse now. Does someone want to read their version? Laura? Do you want to read your version? Okay. Anyone have it? Philippians 2, verse 5. Do you know it?
You should have the same attitude towards one another that Christ Jesus had.
Yep, that's pretty much the version I had. So how can we apply this to our lives every day? What was Jesus like to everyone he met? Yeah? Always kind. No matter what they said, he wouldn't let it bother him. Yep, that's a big part of it. Any other ideas, input, comments? Never angry, yep. I think those two pretty much sum it up. No matter what happened to him, he always looked towards God and knew that he had a Father in heaven who loved him and didn't let anything that happened during his day worry him. Even when he was going to go hang on the cross, what did he do? He prayed. Yeah, he even prayed for other people, for the world. Let's say you guys are coming up, maybe you have a test you know you didn't study for. I keep going back to that, but do you guys think you'll cram for it in the last like period or something? Or would you pray? Cram, pray, both, maybe? Yep, that's a good idea. But let's say it was something bigger, which you didn't have any idea how to deal with, right? Like, we can't compare it to what Jesus went through, but let's say the biggest situation that you've been through. Do you think your first inclination would have been to pray? Or just worry about that situation and think about how you're going to make it through? Yeah? You'd pray? Okay, I know for me, I'd probably think it through and then maybe resort to prayer, but I'd be worried about what's going to happen, how it's going to work out and stuff, right? I'm sure other people feel the same way too, but yeah, it sometimes works out to both. Now, there's another verse that I want you guys to turn to if you get a chance. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Now, I've looked up other versions, and the one that I found was the Message, which was the most powerful that I thought was important. So I'll read it in the Message version. But that's no life for you. You learn Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, being well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it, and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. So anyone get that part, that verse, I mean? Different version? What do you get from that version that you read? Anything strike out to you? Yeah, so pretty much before we become a Christian, we're of the world, right? We're human. We might be doing things that aren't godly, right? When we do become a Christian, God asks us to put that aside and ask for his help to become more righteous. So this is basically just the idea that we can ask God to give us the right attitude no matter where we are, what we're going through, and he'll come through for us. The last part of this in the Message version, which is the part that I like, is a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his life in you. So it's nothing that we have to do ourselves. We ask God for and he'll reproduce it in our lives, right? We're never alone in anything we do. Now, who finds that when they're in a bad mood or something, that you let that dictate how you act towards someone, whether your actions, what you say, things like that? I know it's usually how I react to. The thing is, as hard as it is sometimes, we need to keep our attitudes in check with the Bible and what God has asked us to be like constantly, right? I know it's hard, but with God, anything's possible. Do you have something to say? What if someone gets their day really down? Anyone have any ideas? Yeah? Yeah, that's a really good idea. So pray for them. What she said is pray for them. If someone gets your day really down or something, or even if you're having a really bad day, just pray. Ask God to come and change the situation. And then who talks to God? I'm sure everyone here does. It's basically praying, just talking to him, asking him how he's doing, what his day is like and stuff. Although he knows everything, he still likes to talk to us one-on-one. Basically, if you talk to him, you can prophesy over someone. So just ask God for an encouraging word, whether it be for your own life or for that friend who's bringing your day down. And then I'm sure that'll really brighten their day. Something else to add to that? Yeah, it could even be someone you don't know. Yeah, when God leads you to do that, then you shouldn't be afraid to, right? Yep, Leah. Yeah, that's so important, what Leah said. We can't judge people based on how they're reacting because we don't know what they've been through or what's going on in their life right now, whether they've taken it off someone else's shoulders or something like that. A quote I love from Mother Teresa is, when you judge someone, you have no time to love them. And I know this is a sidetrack, but think about that. Let's say I go into a store, someone looks at me, and just because I have a jacket on or something, a big jacket, they think that I might try stealing something. They've judged me right from the start. They might watch me, but they have no reason to believe that I might try taking something, right? In the same way, when we meet other people that we might not like right away or something, if we judge them, then that just breaks down our opportunity to get to know them, get to know how God sees them. So when you're in a situation like that, just ask God how he sees them, right? Yeah, no one can judge you. That's up to God, right? Yeah, that's good. Don't judge a book by its cover. I mean, God gave a son for us, even though we all sinned, we all fall short of God's glory. But he gave a son for us because he loved us, right? And he didn't care what we'd done. So that's a really good point, too. Let's see. Okay, so we're just going to go through a brief way of how we can, I guess, avoid having bad attitudes throughout our lives. And this is just like a 4 or 5 step process. So it's not hard. It just takes some work on your part. And it's pretty easy. If you guys want to write it down, go ahead. But it's easy to memorize as well. So the first step is we have to identify what attitudes are in our lives, whether they be good or bad. If they're good, then they're godly usually, unless it's like a prideful attitude where we're just boasting about everything. And we're making it seem like we did everything on our own when we know that that just doesn't happen. Without God, we wouldn't be able to do anything, right? So the first thing is identify and repent of those attitudes which aren't godly. Acts 8:22 says, if you want to turn to it, go ahead. I'm just going to read it out. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray to God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. So the first step, and just to sum it up, repent of the bad attitudes. The second step is to submit your attitudes to God. So I think that's the best way we can change our attitudes, our mindsets, because we can't do it on our own, right? Who knows, maybe they try listening to music, or they try blocking themselves off from the world to try getting in a better mood. I know I might listen to different music, maybe Christian music or something, but even if when we're in a bad mood, if we go straight to Christian music or something like that, instead of directly to God, that can become sort of an idol in our lives, right? Because all that is for God, right? Anyone get what I mean? You guys get it? Okay, so the second part is submit those attitudes to God. The third part is equip and feed those godly attitudes that he has spoken into your lives or asked us to be representatives of, right? So I know that's hard when we come against tough situations. We might just want to lock ourselves away again and just stay away from whatever the world has. But if we constantly try having those positive attitudes, then it'll become easier in time. It's just like riding a bike or swimming. You don't do it in the first, 5 seconds. How many of you remember learning to ride a bike or learning to swim? Were you just thrown in the pool when you learned to swim? No. Yeah, if you were thrown in the pool, did you sink? Were your parents there to hold you up? Yeah, so your parents were there to hold you up. They taught you how to swim, right? Or you learned somehow with floaties or something like that. In the same way, you can't just expect to always have a good attitude whenever tough situations come. You've got to build up that rep with yourself, and then it'll be easier as time goes on, right? Right now, I know we're all pretty young, so we might not have as much experience as we'd like, but with God, we can do that. And that's the last step. So the first step, again, repent of those bad attitudes. The second one, submit those attitudes to God. And the third step is equip and keep constant check of your attitudes. Keep feeding those good ones, right? And if you want to turn to this last verse, it's Philippians 4, verse 8. And what it says is, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So pretty much to sum it up into a few sentences, whatever is godly and righteous, meditate on those things. Don't focus on the things that are bad or bring you down. Focus on the things that God has for you. Now let me ask you guys a question. When you're going out through your lives in school or something, what do you think parents or teachers or authority figures expect of younger people? God has put people in our lives in authority positions because he's placed them there, because we can learn from them. And sometimes they are not Christian, but they do have good input in our lives. And if you don't know if it's good input, take it to God, take it to a leader or someone you know you can trust. Now, what are some stereotypes about younger people that other people believe? Yep. Hooligans, yep. Reckless. Irresponsible. Useless. Obnoxious. Yep, I'm sure you guys can name off a lot. One more. Mood swinging, yep. Now, what do you think that does to our, to what the world thinks of us? Does everyone think of us that way or just certain people? Certain people, yeah. But, yeah, God doesn't think of us that way. But think about this. Do you know people in your lives that reinforce those stereotypes? Maybe they're reckless, they're irresponsible or something like that. I'm sure we all know some people like that. Now think about it. What better way to make a difference in the world than show people in our lives, whether they be authority or even our own peers, that we can have positive attitudes. We are responsible. We are all the opposite things of whatever was just said. That we are godly and righteous, right? And it doesn't take you going up on a podium or something and calling out all those things in different people. It just takes you being kind. It's through your actions that you'll change the world, right? Let's say I just stay talking and I don't do anything to reinforce it. Do you think I'll change much? No. What I have to do, I have to get up and do something, right? That's how we're going to change it. So just keep that in mind as you're going through life. Just keep your attitude in check, and it'll reinforce the way that people, it'll change the mind shift of the way people think about you. And another part of that is we're also representatives of Christ, right? Anyone know that? Yep, since we're Christians, we represent what Christ is to the world. So people do watch what we do, whether we like it or not. So who wants to represent Christ in an ungodly way? I don't think anyone does, yeah. So we all want to be righteous, godly, because we are representatives of Christ. So that's why we've also got to maintain how we are to other people and our attitudes around everyone else. Now, this quote, which I heard a long time ago, which really stuck out to me, I still remember it now. I'm going to leave you guys with this, so just think about this as you go throughout this week. Your attitudes are contagious, and is yours worth catching? If other people know how you are, and they start changing to what you are like, right? Is yours actually worth catching, your attitude and the way you behave? So just think about that as you go around this week. Now I'm just going to pray quickly. So if you guys think that you guys could use a change in your attitude or you could use help, then you guys can just talk to God in your own way. But I'm just going to do a corporate prayer. So guys on the couch, if you just want to pay attention. Cody. Okay, so God, we just thank you that we could be here and just spend time with you today. We ask that as we go throughout this week and through the rest of our lives, that you just help us to maintain godly attitudes towards others and towards you. And that even though hard times come our way, we know we can always trust you no matter what. So just be with us throughout the rest of our lives and help us to represent you in everywhere we go and everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.